Welcome again to Mission Love Ministries. I feel led to talk to you today about the resurrection difference. The resurrection difference. In the Greek, resurrection means arousing, to bring out of sleep, awaken, give someone a shout. Have you ever been trying to wake someone up who's been so deep in sleep that they are hard to wake up? You try to yell at them to get them awake, and it takes that to get them awake sometimes because they're so deep in sleep. When someone is resurrected, they are in a deep sleep that they need to be taken out of. Resurrection also means to stir up, to ascend to the surface, to mount a rebellion. There's a good one. To mount a rebellion. When Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a rebellion against the death, sickness, and disease of sin. And it did what this next definition says. It changed the arrangement or position of. Before Jesus was raised from the dead, mankind was in a dead position, spiritually dead. So therefore, mankind had to be resurrected from the dead. And Jesus, being the first resurrected from the dead, led the way for us to change the arrangement of our position, and we mounted a rebellion against the devil by receiving God's resurrection power within us. Now, I know there may be some people out there who may not believe in the resurrection from the dead. However, in the Bible, Matthew chapter 22 states that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They were a part of the religious sect in Jesus' day when he walked this earth. In verse 31 to 32 of Matthew 22, Jesus refuted that myth with this statement, saying, "As to whether there will be a resurrection of the dead, haven't you, Sadducees, ever read about this in the scriptures? It says, long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said, 'I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' So he is the God of the living, not the dead. If there were no resurrection, God would have said, 'I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' But God did say, 'I am their God.' He is, present tense, the God of those who are still alive. So if they have been dead and are still alive, that means that they were resurrected. We'll look more into the resurrection power in a minute. But I would like to go to John chapter 5, verse 25 and 28 and 29. Jesus here said, "I assure you that the time is coming and is here now when the dead will hear my voice, and they who hear me shall live. Don't be surprised at this, for a time is coming when all those who are in the tombs will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done what is acceptable to God will arise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment or sentencing." According to what Jesus said, all will rise again. There are two different resurrections. In both cases, it will eliminate whatever has been dominant in a person's heart and soul. Whatever and whoever they have deemed most valuable will be their Lord over their life, both now and forever. We need to examine our hearts to make sure that Jesus is the Lord over our life, and not something on this earth, like the internet, a car, a house, a job, money, or even a person. None of these things should be our Lord. No one except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Next, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, concerning the resurrection of the dead. It says, "Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever." The King James uses corruption concerning our earthly bodies and incorruption when we are raised up. Corruption simply refers to a ceasing. Incorruption refers to a never-ending, perpetually, which means forever without end. We may be planted in the earth when we die, but we will exist forever, whether we live in heaven or we die in hell. And both are for eternity. Just because someone is resurrected, that doesn't mean that they are always going to be resurrected to heaven. As was said, whoever makes the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of their life will live forever. This is incorruption. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 says, that I may know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection. The Greek word for power here is dunamis, which we get the word dynamite from. It represents an explosive and uncontrollable force. In some cases, an explosive force is destructible, but not in this case. It is a life-giving force that is far superior to the destructive power of the devil. The devil cannot control it at all. It is definitely more powerful than all of his forces put together. The devil only took 1/3 of the angels in heaven with him. He is outnumbered, not only in numbers, but also in power. So don't let the devil convince you that he is more powerful than you are, because you do have the greater one living inside of you. Greater is God who is in just you than the devil who is in this whole world put together. Only if you give him permission would he have any power over you, especially concerning the resurrective power of God inside of you. The power of God's resurrection works not only in Christ, but in all who believe in him through the finished and final authoritative work of Christ to redeem us from all the destruction that the devil has ever done to us. Now we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith. It tells the many stories of those who before have believed in God and are hoping for a better place. As verse 35 says, they're looking for a better resurrection. Better means more useful, more serviceable, more advantageous, and stronger. Referring to John chapter 5 about the two resurrections, our resurrection in Christ is more useful, serviceable, advantageous, and stronger than whatever so-called resurrection power the devil thinks he has. He believes his own lies, but you do not have to believe what he says over what you have experienced in Christ. For one thing, Ephesians 2 verse 1 says that we have been made alive after having been spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 5 of that chapter, it continues explaining that even when we were dead in sins, God has made us alive together with Christ. David said in Psalms 32, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight." The Bible says that God has cast all our sins behind his back, and he will remember them no more. He did this for us because we couldn't do it for ourselves. We cannot redeem ourselves from the devastating effects of sin, and only God can. This is a more advantageous resurrection than what Satan could even think about. Christ's resurrection working in us has washed us clean from sin, rebirthing us into the kingdom of God, giving us not only citizenship in the kingdom of God, but also the status of being adopted into God's lineage as his children, his offspring. Not only are we elevated by God through Christ's resurrection to new life, but verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2 states that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The words "seated together" represent a status of authority, a heavenly status which comes through Christ. We are in the position of authority over the devil, which Christ also has. Of course, it's only because of him, but we also share this resurrective authority with him. We have been raised to this level by God because we trust in and rely on Christ's resurrection. We have authority over the devil through Christ Jesus our Lord, who is Lord of lords and King of kings. This is why Christ's resurrection is more useful, serviceable, advantageous, and stronger. It's because it came from the unlimited power and highest love of God. And because of this, as 1 Peter 1 verse 3 tells us, we have a living hope, a great expectation of what our end will be. The same resurrection power that raised us from spiritual death and seated us with God in Christ Jesus will also continue to flow in our spirit and carry us through to our final place of residence, which is with God our Creator in His heavenly home. There we will be forever, without end, enjoying the everlasting resurrection power in its fullest strength. We will be shown by God the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. Only His love will be shown to those who believe in His resurrection, but to those who do not believe will come eternal separation from God's love, not by His choice, but by their own decision. But Revelation 20, verse 6 promises that the second death, which is eternal death in the lake of fire, will have no power over us who have experienced the resurrection power of God. If you have not received this resurrection power as of yet, let me invite you to do that right now. Jesus told Martha in John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall live and never die," the second death. When he said, "I am," one of the things that he meant was that you can have this resurrection power working inside of you now, not later, or when you deserve it, which none of us can really deserve it in our own merit. But it means now. Now. This is because Christ has already conquered death and experienced the resurrection power of God. Therefore, it is available to you now. You can have this resurrection power in your life by receiving Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is believe in Him and that what He has done is for you too. Then ask Him to come into your heart. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and you will start to enjoy God's resurrection power within you today. Now Romans chapter 6 gives us two benefits of His resurrection power. In verse 4 it says that we will walk in newness of life. This newness of life is a refreshing start that we will feel in our heart because our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart and starts to teach us things about God and what our new life in Christ means and does for us. Verse 5 through 14 expound on the fact that we are in the likeness of Christ's resurrection. We are a new person who does not have to be subjective to nor serve sin. Instead, we have dominion over sin and have the resurrection power of God to break every chain that holds us in bondage from enjoying life, especially the life of God. But if we do sin, then 1 John 1:9 gives us hope by showing us that if we confess our sins to God out of true repentance, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteous condemnation that came with the sin. The difference that God's resurrection makes in our life can be so satisfying and rewarding that we would not want to be without it ever again. If we lose focus on Him, then He can restore us to where we need to be in our walk with Him. As our Father, He wants us to always have His resurrection power working in our life, both on earth and in heaven. We do not have to be perfect. We just have to be in His perfect place so that He can teach us how to enjoy this resurrection power and use us to tell others about this awe-inspiring way to live in our daily lives. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that if someone doesn't know Your resurrection power in their life, that You would show it to them in their heart. May they receive it, I pray, and may they always know the difference that Your resurrection power will make, both now and forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.